Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. The verse says, most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? Most men will proclaim every one his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find? All right, now this particular passage of Scripture is simply about this. It is simply about a man proclaiming his self-righteousness. And the converse is a faithful man who will proclaim the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But most men, when they're pinned and asked about their, doings, about their faith, they will profess or proclaim their own goodness. Now, let me give you some examples of the first part of the parable or the proverb. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. There's a real good example of this in Luke chapter 18. It's the first one that comes to mind. Luke chapter 18. While you're turning there, Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at verse 10. I am reminded of conversations that we've had with our children, where we might get after them about something that's gone wrong. And one in particular will say, well, yeah, but I'm making good grades in school and I'm going to church. You know what that is? Proclaiming his own goodness. Luke chapter 18, look at verse 10. The Bible says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So here is a classic example of a man who proclaims his own goodness. And the reason is he wants to profess his self-righteousness to make himself justified with God. He compares himself to the publican, and he says, I thank you that I'm not like other men. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. God's not impressed with that. That's Cain's religion. Cain worked hard to produce the fruit that he produced and presented that to God in sacrifice, and God wouldn't accept it. God was not interested in Cain's deeds, which he later called evil deeds. He was interested in the right kind of sacrifice and in humility. So for a man to proclaim his own goodness in order to justify himself is a surefire way not to be justified. It is a surefire way to be abased. The faithful man, who can find? Well, there's one faithful man right there, that little publican that just said, I don't have anything good about me to proclaim. God be merciful to me, a sinner. Now there's another example. We find this in Job chapter 31. And Job, we commonly refer to him as somebody who's gone through a great deal of suffering and come out on the right side. But Job did have a problem that God needed to work out with him. And the problem, very simply, was self-righteousness. And of course, you don't see it right at first. God knows it's there. As a matter of fact, God has put a little war here. And he says to the devil, he said, have you considered Job? Because he's a good guy, And so there's this, suffering that Job goes through. And the suffering reveals a self-righteousness that's not evident at first. Notice in Job chapter 31, the whole chapter is about it, but he says things like this. In verse 1, he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? Well, he's a better man than I'd say 75 to 90% of most American men who've not made a covenant with their eyes that they should think upon a maid. That's why, listen, if using women, sex, to sell automobiles and to sell advertising on sports, you know, programs, on billboards, in magazines, if sex was not catching the attention of men, then it wouldn't be used in advertising the way that it's used. But the truth of the matter is, Job was a very righteous man if he had a covenant with his eyes that would cause him not to think upon a maid. Then he says here, verse 5, he says, if I have walked with vanity, or if my foot have hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity. See it? If my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, if any blot hath cleaved to mine hands, then let me sow and let another eat. Yea, let my offspring be rooted out. This is a very righteous man. If mine heart have been deceived by a woman, or if I have laid wait at my neighbor's door, then let my wife grind unto another, and let others bow down upon her. For this is an heinous crime. Yea, it is an iniquity to be punished by the judges. Verse 13, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, what then shall I do when God riseth up? Verse 16, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless have not eaten thereof. Verse 19, if I had seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if his loins have not been blessed, have not blessed me, and if he were not warmed with the fleece of my sheep, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, then let mine arm fall from my shoulder blade, and mine arm be broken from the bone. And it goes on like that for the entire chapter. Job's telling you, man, when they were naked, I clothed them. When they were hungry, I fed them. When my maidservant or my manservant had a problem, I took care of it. I never waited at my neighbor's door. I never tried to commit adultery with another woman. I didn't even look at one and think about her. It's just amazing. And he says, let me be weighed in an even balance that God may know mine integrity. It was tremendous. I mean, he was a tremendous fellow. But you know something? He thought so much of his own righteousness that he actually exalted himself and not the Lord. So when God appeared to him in Job chapter 38 and started asking him all the questions, by Job chapter 40, this was Job's answer. When he finally did get a chance to answer any of the questions, this is what Job said in Job chapter 40, verse 4. Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay mine hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. What did he say? I am vile. He didn't say I'm righteous. He didn't say I'm good. He didn't say I fed the poor and took care of everybody and didn't cheat on my wife and so forth and so on. He said I'm vile. Look in Job 42, verse 4. At the end of all of this, when he's getting ready to be blessed and receive double for what he lost and his children, he says in Job chapter 42, verse 4, hear I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore, watch it, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. There's a very righteous man, and when he got a glimpse of God, he said, I repent in dust and ashes. But he professed his goodness up to that point. Why? Because every man will proclaim his goodness. Job did, the Pharisee did, and the Pharisee, look, the Pharisee said he wasn't all those things, and he meant it. And he fasted twice in the week and gave tithes of all that he had. That Pharisee was better in his deeds than many Christians are in their deeds. And yet he was abased. Job was far better than we are. And yet when he had a chance to present his righteousness before God, he ducked tail and said, no way, I'm vile. When I talk to people about the Lord, generally they think of God's judgment. You know, I'm talking about the white throne judgment, the final judgment. They think of that in a couple or three different ways. But for the most part, one of the most common ways that they see that judgment is that basically this is so. Good people go to heaven. That is, if a man is religious, but he's wrong. In other words, if he doesn't know the Bible and the Bible says that, you know, you got to have Jesus Christ as your Savior. Many people believe it doesn't make any difference as long as he is true to the dictates of his own religion. Or maybe he's not a religious man. Maybe he doesn't go to church at all. Maybe he doesn't profess any religion whatsoever, but he's a good man. He's good to his fellow man. He's good to his wife. He's good to his kids. He's good to his concept of God. He's just not a religious man. He's a good person. They believe that good people go to heaven, that good things happen to good people. That's what they believe. And you know what that is? That is a man proclaiming his own goodness. Good people go to heaven. Therefore, I'm going to heaven because I'm a good man. Now, those are examples of men that proclaim their own goodness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. There's three examples right there. But a faithful man who can find. Well, you know what a faithful man will do? A faithful man will not proclaim his own goodness. He will not exalt his own righteousness. He will not make himself believe that he's good enough to pass a judgment with God. You know what he'll do? He will believe what God has to say about him. Because after all, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God, and this is about faithful men. Well, a man who's faithful is going to have faith in something, and when he has faith in God's words, he's going to believe what God has to say about him, and what God has to say about him is not good. Now, Paul knew this better than anybody, and of course, we know it as well as Paul did if we believe what he wrote down, what God said. All right, look, for instance, in Romans chapter 3, at verse 10, all right? As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. You see it? So if a man were to say, I am righteous, like the Pharisee did, he'd be wrong. If a man were to say that I am righteous, like Job did, he'd be wrong, because Paul said, there is none righteous, no, not one. And he's quoting from Psalm 14 and Psalm 53. There is none righteous. There is none righteous. No, not one. Notice in verse 12, the second part. Romans chapter 3, verse 12, the second part. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. And yet, the proverb says, everyone will proclaim his own goodness. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. He doesn't have any goodness according to God to proclaim. There's none good, no, not one. Now, there was a rich ruler in Luke chapter 18, verse 19, that had come up to the Lord Jesus Christ, Luke 18, 19. And when he came up to the Lord, he said something that we say, or that you've heard other people say. You know, like somebody talks about a friend and they say, good buddy, or he's a good friend of mine. Or a lot of times in a political sense, you'll hear somebody say, oh, so-and-so is really a fine fellow. He's a really good man. Or he'll even say, you're a good man. So in that sense, this rich young ruler came up to Jesus Christ in verse 18 of Luke 18 and said, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You see that? Good buddy, good friend, good pal, good partner, you know. Good master. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Now what he's saying there is, if you believe that I'm God, then I'm good. But if you don't believe that I'm God, you just believe that I'm a master, then why are you calling me good? Because nobody's good but God. Now you see how exclusive Jesus Christ was there? He said, there is none good, or none is good save one, that is God. So for you and I to try to profess our own goodness, to proclaim our own goodness, would be insanity. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but it would be insanity because we're not good and God would not be impressed with anything we had done. Now, Solomon was a very wise man. And, you know, he was also a very practical man, and he knew something, a great truth. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, he tells us what it is. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, he tells us what it is. Now you need to get this, because it's true of you, it's true of me, it's true of everybody you know. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Now, we get to see this all the time in personal work, because once you start talking to somebody about an eternity in heaven or eternity in hell, if they have any sense about them at all, and even if they have a minuscule amount of the fear of God in them, they don't want to go to hell. They're not sure they know all about it, but they're sure that they know all they want to know about it. They want to go to heaven. They don't want to see that place. And so when we start talking in personal work to them about their soul, immediately they'll do exactly what the proverb says that we're studying. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. And they start saying things like, I've never killed anybody. I've never stolen anything. You know, I've never cheated on my wife. Blah, da, 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 da. And they'll go down the list. You know why? Because they want to proclaim their own goodness to show that they have not committed any sins that would be worthy of death. Solomon said, there's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. So regardless of how good you are and how good you've been, you are still a sinner. According to Solomon, the wisest man that was ever on the earth, according to Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, and according to Paul, the greatest Christian that ever lived. Now, Paul, when he had the opportunity to talk about his own righteousness, was writing to the Philippians, and he made mention of the way that he was before he got saved. He wanted them to understand that he understood what it was to be a Pharisee and to practice a religion. And he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Paul's basically saying, look, if you want to talk about how good you are in the flesh, if anybody has a right to boast, I have a right to boast. He says in verse 5 of Philippians chapter 3, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now look what he said there. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Now you got to be a pretty good character to be able to make that statement, write it down, and have God preserve it in Scripture. It has to be true. But what things, he says. Now he goes on. He said, now there's my goodness right there, right? But watch what he says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Paul tells you, look, I could proclaim my own goodness. Most men will. I could. But I'm not going to, because if I did, I would be putting my blameless adherence to the law, my zeal in persecuting the church, my birth as an Hebrew, my position as a Pharisee against the righteousness of Christ. And he said, I don't want to be found in him having mine own righteousness. So I'm going to count all these things that other people admire and all these things about which other people have pride, I'm going to count them dung. And that's what Paul thought about it. So what's the use of proclaiming your own goodness? God's not going to buy it. It will not do you any good at all with a judgment with God whatsoever. Isaiah, a great prophet, the Old Testament, 66 chapters. Think about that. God gave this man an opportunity to write 66 chapters in your Bible. That's no small thing. This is a good man we're talking about here as far as the flesh is concerned. You know what he said in Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, about our goodness, about his righteousness? He said this, Isaiah 64, 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Now there you go. Look at the people that you're hearing from. Jesus Christ, Paul the Apostle, Solomon, Isaiah. Don't you think these men know what they're talking about? I do. The Bible says, who can find a faithful man? A faithful man who can find? Well, if you want to be a faithful man, you got to believe what God said about you, and God said, you're not good. There's not a just man on the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Paul counted all of his righteousness as dung. Jesus said there's none good but God. Paul said there's none that doeth good, no, not one, which includes you and includes me. Paul even went on to say this, and if you've never seen this before, I pray that it will jump off the page at you. And if you have seen it before, I pray that it'll remind you of something that's so very, very true about Paul and about us, true. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul says this to Timothy, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now we know that. It's a faithful saying. Who can find a faithful man? All right. A faithful man will go by a faithful saying. And worthy of all acceptation, Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. That's a faithful, true, right statement. But that's not the full verse. The verse goes on to say, of whom I am chief. Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. When Paul had the opportunity to boast in front of Timothy and say, look, man, you know, I got to take care of these people and all that thing, and I've really tried to live my life in such a way that they never have any criticism of me, blah, blah, blah. And I really have been good. I've done all that God asked me to do and so forth. He could have said that, but he didn't say that. He said, you know what? Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, and I just want you to know where I fall on the list. I am, not was, chief. Now, there's a faithful man. He's got the right attitude about himself. Where are you? Where are you? Well, we know that God is faithful. The Bible says, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Well, there's a faithful man. It says a faithful man who can find. God is a faithful man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. 1 John 1, 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is faithful, and Jesus is God. Therefore, Jesus is faithful. And if you find Him and receive Him, you will be good. You will have His righteousness. You will have His goodness. And that's the only place you're ever going to find any goodness. No other place. Like Paul said, not having mine own righteousness, but that righteousness which comes by faith in Jesus Christ. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, oft quoted, so very, very necessary for all of us. The Bible was in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, is talking about God doing something with Jesus Christ. For God hath made Him, Jesus Christ, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Righteousness comes by God. And if you want righteousness, you're going to have to get it from Jesus Christ as a free gift. He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Every sin you have committed, every sin that will ever be committed by you, was placed on the body of Jesus Christ on Calvary. Okay? So, He made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin. It's our sins that killed Him. Why did He do it? That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. There is an exchange. If you want goodness, the goodness you're going to get is going to come from the righteousness of Jesus Christ, or you're not going to have any goodness whatsoever. So when you read this proverb, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, and you're tempted to proclaim your own goodness whenever you're asked about salvation, or you're tempted to proclaim your baptism, your church membership, your good deeds, your record of attendance, whatever it may be, your record of service. I was talking to a Jehovah's Witness one time, and man, you talk about faithful to her religion. She told me that 90 hours a week, I mean, this woman had a full-time job, okay? I mean, in a very difficult job, but 90 hours a month she spent knocking on doors and talking to people about Jehovah and about her religion. So when I talked to her briefly about salvation and things like that, you know what she said? She proclaimed her goodness, because most men will. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness. She told me how many hours a month she was out there working for her deal, and how much she believed in Jehovah, and how much she read the scripture, and blah, da, 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 da. Let me tell you something. That's not the way to be a faithful man. The way to be a faithful man is to proclaim the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the goodness of God, and to trust his faithfulness, his righteousness, and his goodness to get you by the judgment with God, because he'll give you all those things when you receive him as your Savior. And forget about trying to tell everybody else how good you are. God doesn't care. Listen, if you've been good, when I say God doesn't care, he certainly cares that you and I live a life that's good, but I mean, he's not going to let you pit your goodness against his goodness. When you get to the judgment seat of Christ, if you've done something worthy of reward, God will give you a reward for it. But in the meantime, the goodness about which we should speak is the goodness of God. Know you not that the goodness of God leadeth us to repentance? Leadeth thee to repentance? If you want any, you talk about anything that's been good, it's not how good you've been at church. It's how good God has been in your life, how good God can be to a sinner if he'll just receive Jesus Christ as his Savior. You never want to lose track of that. Even Christians are prone to do this and proclaim their own goodness. Children are prone to proclaim their own goodness when they're out of line and have done something wrong. Just let it go. There'll be a day to judge all that. Right now, we proclaim the goodness of God. Right now, we proclaim the faithfulness of God.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.